Think we're live. Let's see. Are we live? Are we live?
It says live in the top right.
Hang on. Yay, we are live. We are live. Yay. Hello, everybody. If there is anyone watching, and welcome to episode 16 of the Spooktator podcast, brought live to you from our houses. I almost said by our houses then. That would be really weird. By our houses.
I'm in the shed.
My name is Hayley Stevens, and as ever, I'm your host. And joining me tonight, in no particular order, are Alistair Coleman. Oh, okay.
Charlie, he is here.
He is here. Charlie Revel Smith.
Hello, everyone.
Is he still muted? Are you still muted, Alistair? No.
Yes, I am muted.
It was deserved, to be fair.
This is really demonstrating how pro we are, you know, behind the scenes. Yeah.
Letting us all down there.
Let's start that big. Yeah. Joining me tonight, in no particular order, are Alistair Coleman.
Hello, it's going to
Hi. Oh, he's...
Alistair is here.
Charlie Revel Smith.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Paul Gannon.
Hello.
And Ash Price. Yeah, you're just fucking around.
Hello!
Thank you. Jesus Christ, that was difficult. We are the show that looks at paranormal stories that have been in the media recently and use science to ask, say what? Charlie, you've just returned from a vacation to the States. How was it? And how sad are you to be back in the UK?
It was fantastic. It was really, really good. I think you heard my report from Chicago over there. It was nice. I had a nice long stay over there. And I came back on Saturday. So I'm still actually not entirely adjusted back to being in the UK. But it feels good to be back. It kind of felt like, you know, when you're having like such a great time over somewhere, it just takes a Trump presidency to make you suddenly want to come home again. So that did it for me.
I was in your neck of the woods recently, actually. I was invited to Bristol to be part of a Ghostbusters episode of a podcast called The Cosmic Shed, which is literally recorded in a shed. And it's great, actually. You should check it out, listeners, if you haven't already. You can find them at thecosmicshed.com. They explore ways in which storytelling and science and sci-fi all kind of interconnect with one another. Apart from that, has anybody else been up to anything interesting? Ash?
I've been doing a few things, a few shows. I was in Greenwich last week doing How to Be a Psychic Con Man. Had some interesting responses to that.
tell us more about those interesting responses, Ash.
Well, the show I do, How to Be a Psychic Con Man, it looks at using magic and trickery to recreate elements of the paranormal, so metal bending, mind reading, that type of thing. And one of the people in the audience, afterwards, he recorded a 45-minute response to my show. He's from a believer's point of view, and, you know, to be fair, it wasn't a scathing critique or anything. It was just, you know, him taking a contrary position. But it's kind of the first time I've ever had something of that level, really, because that's a 45-minute recording and upload to YouTube. It's actually quite a lot to do just for my little show. So I'm kind of honoured a little bit by that.
Isn't it like the same length as your show?
It is more or less the same length as my show. Yeah, my show is about 50 minutes and it was a 45-minute recording. I mean, most of it was him kind of disagreeing with my points, but he went off into various other areas as well and talked about other things. And it wasn't a scathing attack or anything, but it was, you know, it's certainly an interesting new experience for me. So it was just kind of interesting all around. So I've spent the day kind of looking at that and it was certainly a new experience for me. And it's I'm kind of honoured he took that time out to rebut me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a high honour. 45 minutes is quite some going for a YouTube video. I mean, I've done YouTube videos before and I run out of material about 2 minutes in and then I just fill it up with basically.
To be fair, in that 45 minutes, he did take some big, long, winding progressions off into different areas. It was you're right, it was quite, I watched it all earlier today, and it was, yeah, it's quite insightful. I mean, the way it's like in the sort of way that it wasn't in any way mean spirited or anything. It was just, and in fact, there was probably looking at it, I thought, actually, in a lot of ways, he is agreeing with a lot of things which we are also saying to begin with. That, you know, he isn't, even though he is a believer, he isn't like a million miles away from our perspective. He just might, he might be imagining himself to be, you know, he actually made a lot of the skeptical arguments himself, which I didn't expect to happen.
Yeah.
So what were his main objections?
There was a few things. One of the things he brought up was about a video I uploaded about Helen Duncan, and he brought that up a few times because it's been deleted. And I just kind of want to kind of go on record and say I didn't delete that video. It was deleted due to a copyright claim over 30 seconds of footage of World War II boats from the 40s. So that's why that's not up. He mentioned a couple of things. He talked a little bit about how, you know, he's aware of things like metal bending, and he brought up that not many people do know who people like James Heidrick were. You know, one of the biggest areas of, I guess, disagreement was when he was talking about James Randi. He's not a big fan of James Randi, and he talked about Randi's involvement with Project Alpha and just basically called James Randi a liar for what Randi was saying about Project Alpha and what was going on with that. So obviously I kind of don't agree with that. But then he did go off on a few tangents as well and started talking about a few of the little things off on the wayside. But it was just an odd thing to kind of wake up to, to be honest. I found it entirely by accident. But I did actually start writing kind of a response to it. But in the end, I kind of felt I didn't really need to do a full video response. You know, just maybe chatting about it here is kind of fair enough. Because, you know, it's his opinion. He disagrees with me. I disagree with him. I can't imagine a position where he's going to change his mind. And unless I see the evidence, I'm not going to change mine. So it's just kind of an interesting thing to see an argument from that point of view aimed at you, because you generally see these comments aimed more at general skepticism. So it's kind of interesting and a little bit surreal to have it aimed directly at you. And I consider myself to be a good skeptic. I consider myself to be rational with it. And I'm not setting out to say all these things are just absolute bullshit and I won't accept them. My position is I would love to accept these things. I'm just not convinced. And as a magician, I can recreate a lot of these things quite easily without having to rely on the paranormal or supernatural to do so. In fact, my job would be so much easier if I could rely on the paranormal and supernatural, because I'd have to do no pre-show work.
It's true.
It is.
Now, Paul, you haven't been with us for a couple of episodes due to work commitments and other stuff. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you. You
wanted to cover a particular story. I think it was back in October, around Halloween, we were going to do a show. But we thought we would let you do it in this episode. You wanted to bring it to this episode. So what was the story about? Let's just pretend we've gone back to October, everybody. Ignore the Santa hats. Ignore the awesome Christmas jumpers and Ash's questionable tinsel necklace. And
A tinsel tie.
Tinsel tie. Okay.
Get it right.
Okay, I'm really sorry.
You look like the world's worst stripper, Ash.
I am the world's worst stripper. Da, da, da,
da. I'm surprised that wasn't mentioned in that 45-minute long video.
Well, I'm the world's worst stripper.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, he did get a private show afterwards, I guess.
Paul, what was the story about?
So, this interested me, because every now and then I like to go to a website called The Week in Weird. A lovely website. By and large, I get all my supernatural stories from there, or the Anomalist. But one story interested me because of the... Well, I'll paraphrase it, because it's quite a large article. Now, you have to bear with me, because I've got a new laptop. And whatever, for whatever reason, when it shows off what it can do, it's great. And then when you actually just want it to do a simple thing like, I don't know, go to a website, it shits the bed. So the basic gist is there is a special effects team that will come to your house and make it haunted. I've got a haunted house. Or, as they suggest, you can invite ghost hunters along and dupe them. The guy who runs this company is, I mean, there's loads of details in here, and I am going to paraphrase, but his name is Mike Bish, B B-I-S-C-H. He works on a lot of SFX, on movies and theatre shows and things like that. He also made a replica of the Ghostbusters 2 dancing toaster. So, yeah, he's great. He can make a toaster jump on a small spring. to their house, use all their special effects trickery, doodaddery, and make your house haunted. And he sees his job as a challenge to ghost hunters. So they talked to him on that website, and they asked him all the questions why they're doing it. And this is what he says. He said, "I started offering the haunted package not long after my father passed away. When he was alive, we did the same pact as the Weisses did," referring to Harry Houdini and his wife, Bess. So the whole seance secret word thing. "We had a simple code that would be solid proof of the other's existence in the afterworld. And when he passed, we would try and reach out to each other. Well, guess what? We never heard a peep from my dad, and no mentalist, psychic, or anyone has ever been able to get even vaguely close. Blah, 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 talks about loving magic. Blah, 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 talks about using magic and state-of-the-art special effects and technology and good old-fashioned misdirection. He goes, I'm not a hardcore paranormal believer. I am a man of that there science." I added the that there because I don't know why I thought that'd be fun. And he says, "Every place is different, as is every budget. One place might want something simple to fly or float by. Another might want a full-blown hologram to appear and can disappear completely untraceable. And there's a lot of hours going into bigger scale projects. A lot. There's a lot of paperwork to be done before we show up." Also, he does a few videos on this webpage, which I'll put a link to later, which we can put elsewhere, of some of the things that he does in people's houses. He won't tell anyone how he pulls off some of his hoaxes and tricks, but let's just say it's probably a very exaggerated version of Pepper's ghost for this point, shall we? And this is nice. "Yes, we've turned down opportunities that we thought would cause physical harm to people. Bless. I'm glad you mulled that over, Mike. And we've turned down a couple because of mental health risks. Some projects were able to salvage with alternatives and some we flat out lost to. But the bigger question is, does the customer have the means for us to fulfill the request but not get caught? If not, we won't even attempt it. We don't get caught." So the article goes on to say, "For ghost hunters, this service is an alarming news. Not only does it call into question the validity of evidence that they've previously collected, but it's also casting doubt on which haunted locations they choose to investigate. Sue Nielsen, a longtime paranormal investigator, told the website, "We pay a lot of money to travel to haunted places in search of answers. If we wanted a fake haunting, we would stay close to home and wait for the haunted houses to start up in October." Snap. Todd Manoli-Smith, a ghost hunter from Seattle, says hoaxes in properties with haunted histories are an insult. Not only is this degrading to the field, it's also, they haven't put any commas into this when they've written this up, so it's really frustrating to see two very obvious separate sentences jammed together.
Just read it as it's written. Just read it as it's written. I think
copywriting services.
I'm doing my best. "Not only is it degrading to the field, thank you. It's so disrespectful to the deceased who may actually be trying to reach out to us. Even Chip Coffey, a famed psychic medium known for his appearances on shows like A&E's Paranormal State, weighed in on the subject. If there's reliable, substantive, irrefutable proof that such activity is occurring, then it should be made public. No blind accusations, suppositions, or conspiracy theories. Proof only. Blah, 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 blah." Look, to put it in a nutshell, what interested me about this article, now that for some reason the ghost hunters are getting defensive, and there is a line between, this way, I think between all of us, we've done our first year of ghost hunts, right? And I think if any of us saw a real ghost hovering, reaching out to us, looking right there and then, our first question would be, is it a hologram, before we ask any other question, right? So, focusing ghost hunters, it doesn't upset me so much as question the ghost hunters themselves' willingness to believe. I mean, if you read the article, it goes into a lot more detail about the idea of hoaxes and this, that, and the other. Hoaxes as well. But Mike Bish and his bag of supernatural tricks, he sees it as a proper effort. He sees it as a lack of proper effort on the part of the ghost hunting community. the way I see it, if they're worth their weight, they know it's us behind the Paranormal Activity. And I think, to some extent, I agree with them, but I still think it's a knobhead's trick to put this service out there. He's really on the fence.
I don't think... I have to... I have to say, I've never, like, on an investigation gone, is this a hologram? Because to me, that doesn't seem like the most obvious thing. Like, you would go, oh, could this be, you know, a hallucination? Is it somebody messing around? Blah, blah, blah. Never, is this a hologram?
No, but what I'm saying here is...
good, to be honest. Especially,
have you not seen Red Dwarf? Very convincing.
Hundreds of thousands of pounds, they're rubbish. Even when you have got hundreds of thousands.
But like, if we all were on a ghost hunt and we saw something that was so real, that a ghost that was so, I don't know, vivid, wouldn't, if we all saw it together, wouldn't our first question be, all right, where's the camera, where's the projection, where's the gauze, the netting?
You know? Wouldn't think it was a hologram, but I would think it was, like you said, the Pepper's ghost thing. I would think... Well, first of all, I'd be
all hung up on the word hologram.
I would be absolutely terrified, most likely, first of all. But afterwards, I would start thinking, was it Pepper's ghost? Was it some kind of setup, some trick or something like that? If it was something that was so...
Is this the same thing as... there's a company that creates kind of, you put gauze up across your door and you can kind of project an image onto it that walks by. And it looks absolutely fantastic and convincing, very expensive, but certainly something I definitely want to play with.
Well, I did something for Halloween this year where I took my projector and put a curtain up over my window looking out onto the street and then downloaded a video that made it look like there was someone in my house walking around then disappearing, looking murdered. And it was a very simple trick, but it was effective. I don't think anything they're doing is out of the realms of what you'd expect in a very good high-tech ghost hunting kind of ghost house for Halloween. What my problem is that he's doing it, which again just seems to be reasonably spiteful. And the second part of that is, as I said before, any good ghost hunter should be able to spot that fake.
I guess it really depends on the context of what's going on, because I don't know. I've seen weird things, and I guess the things that I've seen would be considered ghosts. And I've never, when seeing them, I've never gone, is this a hologram? Because it's never been, like, on the scale of plausible to implausible, I think holograms are more towards the implausible end of the scale. Like, you wouldn't go, I don't know.
Holograms are less realistic than the idea of ghosts, Hayley. Is that actually what you're saying right now?
No, it's not. Of course it's not. But what I'm saying is...
It sounds like it.
It does sound like it.
Okay, maybe I am. I don't know. But
All I'm saying is...
It's the hell, Stevens. What are you saying?
We've exposed you. My point is, most ghost sightings tend to be in that what did I see spectrum, whereas they're suggesting they can offer something that is seen in a movie. What you'd expect to see. Now, if they're doing subtle, weird, spooky little things, then yeah, maybe that's a bit more, for me, impressive. If they can make me question something rather than look for the obvious outs, then yeah, but again, I'm on the fence. I kind of think, but I don't think what they're doing should really affect people who are trying to do ghost hunting. But then if you're a ghost hunter and you see this stuff and it is as real as you expect to see in a movie, then you should be able to spot it. So only really the stupid need apply.
Oh, that's
right. I don't know about this, because there is, if you are genuinely trying to do a research into the possibility that somewhere is haunted and you are using legitimate methods and whatever you're going to say they are, you are essentially looking for evidence of something, and you might be doing it with the idea that somebody isn't intentionally going out of their way to trick you. So you are essentially uncovering evidence yourself of proof that something could actually be happening, and it might just be people's assuming that other people have a good nature that isn't just trying to trick them. You know, you are essentially presenting evidence.
Yeah, but then I would argue most psychics would use that excuse as well, that they're good-natured people. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there isn't any way that I'm completely consistent with my opinions at all.
Oh, welcome to my world. I guess it's just that level of Why go out of your way to fake something? I mean, the thing is, to use a very popular word now, post-truth, where it's not so much if the facts are real, but if it feels right, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of ghost hunting, you can say there's a lot of post-truth about that. And certainly now, I could easily just go onto Facebook and say, I went to a haunted house last night, create a whole history about it, and people can shout me down, but then I can just say, yeah, but it felt haunted when I was there.
Let's do that.
Yeah, who needs experts? Who needs experts? Yeah.
I have to say...
Who does?
Well, we all do, to be honest. Otherwise, we're all fucked. But, oh, that was the first F word. Sorry. What was I going to say?
Right at the beginning.
Are we not allowed to swear on the live versions?
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
Oh, damn.
Bollocks.
Oh, you've completely thrown me. Oh, yeah.
Gosh darn it.
I'm not swearing at all. I refuse to.
Oh, shut up, guys. I'm trying to think what I was saying. Oh, yes. A proper investigator wouldn't be in the environment where somebody could sneak, like an external company could sneak in, put in a hologram machine or whatever, and then trick them. Because you do preliminary visits, you do baseline readings. You know, there's a whole background of research that you do before you do any on-site investigation. So I think you've got a point. Yeah.
So then is the other issue then someone who will use these tricks and skills to make their boring semi-detached house into the Amityville Horror and then getting people to come along and stay the night and keep them at arm's length in certain parts of the house, or don't go into the bathroom, it's very haunted, also give it 5 minutes, you know, and then something jumps out later, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Basically what I'm saying is this the most haunted live situation? Where all of a sudden someone will be pulled up the stairs.
Let's not even go there, guys. Oh my God, let's not go there.
Moving on. We're live and we can't edit.
Yes, moving on. Now, you've probably all seen those memes that have been being posted on social media recently, where people post a picture of me at the start of 2016 versus me at the end of 2016. And by me, I don't mean me, I mean them. I'm sure you've all seen that. I've realised in the last couple of days that if I bothered to create one, mine would be two identical pictures. Me face-palming that the black-eyed kids are in the headline, and then me face-palming that black-eyed kids are in the headlines. Alistair, what's occurring?
Hello. Yes,
that was your cue, Hello, Alistair. Yep.
That's a link to me, isn't it?
There you go.
Just a bit, yeah. It was very subtle.
You could tell. You can tell us by the fact that I completely missed it. Yeah, right. Yeah, Black Eye. Yay!
You gotta love Black Eye Kids.
You gotta love Black Eye Kids.
For me, it dropped Daily out just when you said that, so I thought you were going to talk about the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, I did.
About the music, though.
No, this has gone in a very interesting and unexpected direction.
Yes. Yeah. So. One of the, we would say, most famous ghost hunt sites, ghost sightings that there are around. Absolutely obsessed are they. As a member of Her Majesty's Press, this is the kind of thing that makes journalism and publishing today fucking shit. Here we go. This is from last week, 5th of December. Mum panics as chilling black-eyed child ghost stalks her. But in a photo, a mum claims she's being haunted by a black-eyed child ghost. And she has a photograph of it. And here is the photograph to prove it. If you want to go and look at the link, have you posted it? Because I'm looking.
Yes. I've posted the link. Yes.
Thank you very much. Yes. So, of terrified Hannah Butler routing a child ghost, and if you look up close, it's in the dark, in the wood. It's not even at Cannock Chase. All the other ones have been at Cannock Chase in the Midland, Nettle Foreshore in Yorkshire.
They're obviously moving around. I guess they've got legs.
Yes, it's in the dark, of course. It's probably a mobile phone camera, so be fantastic in the dark, but what you can see is of a child against a tree stump, or if you have a rational mind,
you dropped out right there. If you say that again, if you have a rational mind, because we missed the punchline.
Yes, okay. It looks like a child leaning against a
cut out the same bit again.
It's the black-eyed kids who are trying to...
Or if you have, you know, I said to myself, I said, do we do a live show? Do we not do a live show? No, let's do a live show, because what could possibly go wrong with doing a live show?
Yes.
Right, so
yes.
Alistair...
yeah, it's a tree stump. Am I still there?
You're still
am
here,
I still there?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Good.
It's a tree
good.
Stump.
Yeah, you're becoming like Norman Collier.
It's a fucking tree stump. Freaking out, she said. I was so shocked, I started crying and had to leave. Yeah, this is like... And she's decided to go to the Daily Star about it now. I'm... photos I was wandering around looking through them, and then I saw it. I thought I'd just imagined her, it wasn't in there, and I started freaking out. Blah 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 blah. Here's a gallery of ghosts taken on camera. It's so black eyed ghosts. I mean, they tend to come around on the Daily Star on a yearly basis. They had one in the last year and a rash of them years ago. And the background is that they say they're a long ghost, and I've looked it up. I've done a bit of research. I mean, I am a journalist, and I have done some research every now and then, and not make up shit from the top of my head. this goes back to 1998 when it was all made up by somebody. But these things enter into I would say polite society, but this is the Daily Star we're talking about. We enter into the tabloid, come true. They become tradition, like the long tradition of Fox coming into town, which is only 10 years old.
What really interests me about this one, because in the Daily Star
it's ominous,
piece...
hasn't it? And people claiming they've seen them, even though there's actually never since of black-eyed ghosts. And people have their own theories, saying they're aliens or zombies. But yeah, I mean, it's clutching at straws. Haley, I know these. I know you're obsessed by them. So go on, have a go at this.
I'm not obsessed. She says, I'm not obsessed. No, I'm not. I mean, I am a little bit, but I think it's safe to say that photograph taken by Hannah Butler doesn't contain a ghost. And that's not just my expert opinion either. That's literally fact.
It is pareidolia, or however you say it.
Pareidolia.
Not even that good a pareidolia, I don't think. Because it took quite a while to actually figure out how it was supposed to be a human shape. It's not a very convincing kind of thing. And also the fact that there is nothing in the image to put it in proportion. It's like, how big is this thing? Because it looks tiny, like a black-eyed fairy rather than black-eyed child. It looks
or
like
a black-eyed pea, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. A black-eyed it's Barbie
Will
doll.
I am. Will I am's getting desperate. But that's not the biggest concern that I have with this story. The biggest concern, not a concern as such, but the thing that really caught my attention is the fact that there are some ghost hunters who've kind of got involved. I don't know if they're directly involved with Hannah Butler or not, but they've gone to the woods and they're doing like their vigils and stuff, and they've allegedly caught the black-eyed kid on video, and the Daily Star shared that video. And it's awful. And I think, like, it's possibly the worst evidence I've ever seen. And, you know, I don't say that lightly, because I've been investigating for over 10 years and I've seen some shit. I've seen shit. But this has to take the number one position. There's nothing in the video except for some guys just stood around going, did you hear that? And then the Daily Star, they kind of slow it down so you can re-listen. I still can't hear it. And I know that I'm partly deaf, but I'm pretty sure it's not the deafness that is stopping me from being able to hear this alleged ghost. I'd love to know what people watching think. And
it
I'd love to know what you guys think.
It look like serious ghost investment.
It does. It really does.
How dare you? How dare you, Alistair?
How bad this is. They just stood there, and then there's a photograph, and I think it's like, I don't know if it's been enhanced to kind of show the figure, but there's literally nothing there. And I've looked at it for a long time, and I've tried to see the ghost. I cannot see the ghost. I mean, I can see what's supposed to be the ghost in Hannah's photograph. I can see like a vague figure, maybe with a face. But in this photograph posted by these investigators, I can see nothing of significance. In fact, I'm going to go look at it now because it's actually making me angry just to think about it. Has the photograph,
really is.
Has the photograph been taken down?
Oh, steaming.
I hope it's been taken down because it's shit. But yes, but these guys are just like literally the worst. And, you know, I've seen people doing all sorts of stuff while ghost hunting to try and bring the spirits. I've seen people dancing because they claim that ghosts are enticed by dancing. These people are worse than those people. And that's all I have to say. And I'm done.
Mic drop.
Yeah, they deserve to be fired out of a cannon, put into a meat mincer, made into soup, and the soup poured.
I just don't get the appeal of this whole Black Eyed Kids thing, because first of all, it's like, for me, it's no different than the Slender Man. It's no different than any of those kind of creepypasta things. It really isn't. It just seems like it's just clickbait for websites that want to be the dailymail.com.
Mm.
That's all I've got to say. I just think I'm just not impressed. It's like I see the front page when it was all over the front page of the Star or the Sun,
yeah,
whenever it was a year or so ago, and I was like, this is not news.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a world of clickbait and a world of meaning money, these viral stories will always appear on the front page, and there's little, I hate to say it, journalism business model.
That's so weird. You dropped out at a weird moment there. I thought you said the C.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. He did.
It's a cheeky wee smile there, Paul. I have a cheeky, innocent smile the best of times.
You're way more impressed with that than you should be.
Oh, mate, I've got nothing to be impressed of these days. Anything I can do the best.
When the Black Eyed Keys phenomenon, just going back on topic, guys, if you could stop flattering one another, for fuck's sake. When it first broke in the UK, I thought that was quite interesting from the point of view that this folklore that had... Paul, will you just fuck off? What are you doing?
Supernatural skills.
Oh, I have no idea how that was performed. Oh, not a clue.
You guys are just... Like, do you know
any tips for that?
I'm really glad that we've gone live, right? Because now the whole world can see what I have to do. Yeah, they can see exactly what I have to deal with when we're recording a show. what you hear when you download it from iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcast from, what you hear is something that I have created after lots of editing, and it's basically 90% muting these guys because they are serious. Anyway,
that's why I'm doing visual stuff.
Yeah, and I wish you wouldn't. It's like a whole extra layer of annoying. Oh my god. Okay.
Got my nose. Paul started it.
Yeah, I did, to be fair. I've been up since 4. I must be in bed by now.
Okay, well, what I was going to say is
where you're going to behave.
Oh my god, guys. I mentioned before that, you know, I've seen people doing lots of weird stuff on ghost hunts and also making loads of weird claims. But I think, you know, even thinking back to 2005, I've never experienced claims as weird as those made by the Spiritual Science Research Foundation. Ash, can you tell everybody why they've caused controversy lately?
Oh, this is my bit. Oh, I was so looking forward to this. This is, right, this is a live recording, so we have to be very careful about how we phrase things, how we talk about things. We don't want to say anything that's unprofessional or anything that could be construed as inaccurate. So I can only describe the next story as fucking crazy! Right, the Spiritual Science Research Foundation, the SSRF, great combination of initials, has put forward a theory that gay people are the way they are because they've been inhabited by the ghost of a spirit that is the opposite cisgender to them. So gay men are the way they are because they are possessed by the spirit of women. And lesbian women are the way they are because they are possessed by the spirit of men. And bisexuals are the way they are because, well, they didn't actually touch on that. But gay men and gay women, you know, creates a little bit of a problem with their theory there, I think. But gay men and gay women are the way they are. Apparently 85% of gay people are this way because they are possessed by spirits of the opposite cisgender. 10% are gay because they had a same-sex experience at one point and enjoyed it. Probably maybe accounts for a bit more than 10%. And they say 5% is due to hormonal changes. But this is the best bit. I love this bit. The SSRF go on to say that pride marches, pride parades, they emit a negative energy. I'm going to quote here. They emit a negative energy because the hosting city where the gay parade, their phrase, not mine, gay parade is held, has a direct impact of being affected by negative energies for up to 10 kilometers. How the hell did they measure that?
I have
what? A gaydar.
Gator, I just have to chime in and say that Daniel May, who is watching live, has just said that this seems legit, and I think that may be sarcasm.
Yeah, is the legit in quote marks, because this is just, yeah, this is one of those situations where you just think, is this a Poe, is this a flat earth society thing? It's so difficult to address. This is like the type of thing that batshit crazy looks at and goes, I'm glad I'm not that. It's just, I don't know what else to say about it. It's just ridiculous. It's just 85% of gay people.
I work. Can have to see both sides of stories like this and weigh up the pros and cons. But to say, in my analysis, it is actually fucking bollocks.
Oh, okay. I did wonder where you were going with that then. I was like, Alistair, what?
It's the fact that
what gets me about stories about this is where's the genesis of these? Where's that moment where someone's sitting on the toilet and goes, I've had a great idea about gay people? Spirits, you know? And then to go call the rules of his insanity, where it's like, so let me get this straight. Now, a woman can't possess a woman ghost, so therefore has to go into a man ghost. That man.
Yeah.
And then, guess, oh,
but just it gets like even more confusing.
They're positive or negative, otherwise it shorts out.
Well, it's even more confusing because it's a case of then it's actually two women ghosts. So it's turned two men into two ghost lesbians. And so where do the ghost lesbians become ghost lesbians from?
Lesbians haunted by gay men inside them? Like gay ghosts? It's like the Russian nesting dolls of gay ghosts.
It's just gay ghosts all the way down.
Well, no, because here's the thing about that. Are they saying the person who died in the first place was gay, or that when you get to die, you get to have sex with any other gender that you want? It's like, it's a free pass. I just don't. And also, why, by that logic, then, isn't the whole world gay? Because there are that many dead people in our history that surely they'll all be out there fucking each other senseless.
But what about bisexuals? Are they only a little bit possessed?
Or are they possessed by a man and a woman?
Oh yeah, conjoined ghost twins of two different cisgenders have possessed bisexuals. I'm going on record with that. That is now a fact.
I think another one of the actual really offensive parts of it was that, you know, that the 10% was like a psychological thing.
Oh yeah.
I think they said it was like at some time in their like teenage years or young adulthood, they had an experience and then they liked
they
it.
They enjoyed it.
It kind of like turns sexuality into just like a snack that you tried once and you just want to go and like give it a go every so often. It's like that is almost as offensive as the 85% ghost.
So if I'm pansexual and I like having sex with anything, does that mean I once possessed by a ghost of a horse?
I don't think pansexuals like having sex with anything.
It's attraction to multiple. Yeah.
I just.
This is going
like
to get into trouble.
I had to clarify that. Just you know. They definitely don't just have sex. Maybe some of them do, but that's individual cases. You know.
Yeah.
God, just that whole idea just opens up.
I'm looking at you all very, very judgingly now.
it's just does that mean anyone with any kind of sexual proclivity is possessed by a ghost of that proclivity?
Yeah,
because Rolf House has got a great get out clause then, if that's true.
This is just going in so. This is why we don't record live versions of the show.
Why we edit.
How did you go from people being
bicycle seats or something? But you went for Rolf.
I could have got from much worse.
Go from people being possessed by ghosts allegedly to Rolf Harris.
Oh, stay with me. We can go somewhere else.
Is there anyone we haven't offended yet? Just leave an answer in the comments.
Yeah, just don't use too many swear words, please. I can't.
Like and subscribe.
As many as you like. Go ahead. You get free.
The thing is,
I've already had one rebuttal video today. I don't want another.
Yeah, because he was a charmer.
Interestingly, when I blogged about this, because loads of people were sharing it on social media, and I was like, do you know what? I'll blog about it. It's ghosts, whatever. And so I blogged about how obviously it's not true, and also about a lot of people claim these things and it leads to exorcism, which is harmful. And I outlined how that's harmful. And then the Society for Psychical Research very kindly shared my blog post. And the title of the blog post was, "Are Gay People Possessed by Ghosts?" Which is provocative. And obviously, the answer is no. And if you read past the headline, the answer was no. And but people... Yeah,
the answer will be no.
Yeah. And people lost their minds over my blog post. And they were saying that it was, I was clear, what was it somebody said? Oh, that I was a Christian extremist and all sorts of things like that. And, and then it got me to thinking maybe these people hadn't read past the headline. And then some of the comments that I've had on my blog since from, I don't know if they're involved in paranormal research, but I think they are, judging by their usernames and their email addresses and stuff. I think they are involved in paranormal research in one way or another. And they were deeply, deeply homophobic in nature. And that really surprised me because I've never really come across homophobia in the paranormal kind of community, whatever you want to call it, but the response to the blog post that I wrote has been quite homophobic.
Yeah, it's quite strange because when I first read the story when you first posted it, I was thinking back to me, especially being a teenager and being a young gay guy, and how reading something like that probably would have really disturbed and upset me at the time. And just thinking now, it's like, oh, I live in this like completely different society now where so many attitudes have changed that I now just read something like that and think, this person is crazy. And it's like, thank goodness we don't actually have those kinds of attitudes going around anymore, or at least they're not commonly accepted. And then you actually do start seeing comments like that and you think, oh, wait, those people are still around. It's just... usually now they know to shut up about it, but they are still out there. And just because, you know, I might be able to laugh it off and things like that, when you do see videos of, you know, these poor gay kids going through exorcism and things like that, it's like, actually no, this really is still damaging. This people do still take this seriously, as much as we laugh at it. And then it's actually quite scary and upsetting.
No, carry on.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, the report is absolutely ridiculous and just plain silly. But yeah, I mean, there's a very serious point to be had there. I mean, if we kind of get away from that stupidity of the report, that the fact that these types of attitudes are out there is a worrying one. And the fact that they feel the need to try and explain away sexuality because it's, to their eyes, it's something abnormal and wrong, that they've had to try and explain away with ghost possession because they can't just accept the fact that some people are gay and some people are on the LGBTI spectrum. And it's just...
It's such like a puerile understanding of all sexuality as well.
Almost race. In fact, all racists, 80% of racists are possessed by dickheads.
I can believe that one.
Yeah. But it is an absolutely ridiculous point. And, you know, it's to say that 85% of gay people are possessed by someone of the opposite cisgender is just absolutely absurd. And that's why I think we're laughing at it so much, despite the fact that there is obviously a very, you know, damaging and dangerous undertone to the whole thing. And, you know, it does just kind of, again, it also creates this idea of kind of a black and white world of you're either gay or you're heterosexual. And it does, you know, it ignores the whole grey middle ground there of bisexuals, pansexuals, and the other types of sexuality. So, again, it misunderstands so many things on so many levels. And it is insulting. It is offensive. And it is absolutely fucking barking mad.
Yes.
You see, the thing is, I've got a theory on this in that I think through the 90s, the whole PC culture told people they couldn't say or think certain things. We had to revolutionize how we thought and how we interacted. And for about 1 year in around 97, I think it probably worked. And then the internet blew up. And then all of a sudden, everyone was commenting on these things on their little boards and stuff. And now you can say any batshit theory in the world, but rather than tell your friend who tells a friend who starts a group who gets more, and the slow spread of that information. Now, the minute I have my bullshit theory, I can go on Twitter or Facebook, bang it out there, and then it becomes a talking point for us. You know, so
but I think that's really important, because I think when such hateful opinions and comments are suddenly taken out of, you know, the private home or the private community groups, and they're put online, it gives the world a chance to respond to them and say that this sort of intolerant attitude or these intolerant attitudes are not welcome. And I think it helps progress.
There's truth to that, but there is the whole adage of saying, you know, a lie gets around the world by the time truth's getting its shoes on, something like that. I've probably mangled that somewhat. And I do think sometimes the larger ridiculous points get more brain time and air time because the people who are telling the truth, if you want to call it that, have to fight against the noise of that initial earthquake of that information.
No, that's the whole story of Dean, really, how people can just keep repeating the same huge lies. So, you can just say anything and it's got equal validity in real media now, that you can tell a huge lie and get away with it, even though it's completely obviously a lie.
Yeah, and then you can become president.
Yeah. And that's why it's really important that when people see nonsense, they speak up and challenge it. And and not just, you know, to defend the truth and so on, but it's because, as Charlie said, there are people who might read this story and be really upset by it or disheartened by it. And if they see people speaking out against it, then that possibly helps them. And that's, you know.
Yeah, I think at the heart of it, I think that the really offensive part of it is it isn't actually anything to do with just the ghosts or things like that. It is this just sort of attitude that heterosexuality is the right way to be, and anything veering from that, something must have gone wrong. And whether you're saying that it's ghosts or it was a product of abuse or something terrible that's happened in your past, it's like something wrong has gone, something bad has happened to you for you to end up this way, to have veered from the norm so much. Yeah, and I hope that their attitudes are dying away now.
We've had two comments from people watching. Firstly, Mark has said that this story ought to flag itself up as one of the daftest things ever to have been dreamed up by someone who really needed a better brand of tea in the mornings. I think that's quite right. And then Glenn, who's watching as well, has said, so 1 minute you're joining the Pride March, then after an exorcism, you develop a sudden inexplicable hatred of rainbows? I'm not sure that's how it works.
I like that.
But that's not the only story that we're discussing in this episode that has been causing some controversy recently. There is a claim doing the rounds about Bigfoot that has a few people shaking their fists in anger. Charlie, what is the deal?
Well, this is an absolutely fascinating story. It was one of those things that it was like I could get utterly lost in this. And again, it is the same website that Paula brought up, Week in Weird. And this is alleging the idea that Bigfoot is a ghost. And at first I thought, that sounds kind of crazy, until you actually start looking under the just a little bit under the surface, or as far as what explanations for why you'd be thinking like that. And if you think about the evidence to suggest that Bigfoot or Bigfoots, which I'm using as a plural, I'm not sure, because Big Feet just doesn't sound right to me. Bigfoot. that there are so many things about the sightings of him or her or them that actually seems to suggest it doesn't behave like a regular animal, in as much as there are allegations of footprints being found in the snow just coming to an end. There are associated strange lights in the sky, as sometimes reported. And as his article goes into some detail on green flashes, which seem to be connected with appearances of Bigfoot or the Sasquatch.
Aren't they Dunlop Plimsolls green?
Green flashes? I don't get the reference, sorry. It was a fascinating article. It's quite a lengthy article, but it was one of those things that as I was going along, I was thinking, I was buying it. I was thinking, yeah, but I'm getting swept up in this, as I'm quite want to do with things like this. But if you are looking for credibility around the story, if you're already you're offering the proposition that there is this ape, this human-like ape living wild in North America, it doesn't take much of a step beyond to say, oh yeah, and he's also a ghost or an alien or whatever, the kind of multi-dimensional traveler. It would explain as much as things as why a body has never been found, for instance. Beyond to that point, I think that it starts going into the realms of I don't think I'm going to be able to come back from this, because this is taking quite a realm into the really quite bizarre. But it's a fascinating story. And as far as this thought experiment goes into how far are you able to push a concept, in this case, Bigfoot, how far can you push that into the realm of the sort of metaphysical, to the point where you can actually still say that you're talking about Bigfoot at all? At some point in the article, which goes into detail on the two people who run the site. This is Dana Matthews and Greg Newkirk. I think I wrote their names right. Yeah. Do a kind of like talk about a camping expedition out into the woods, and it all sounds very exciting and very kind of fun and Blair Witch. And I've done a quite extensive camping in America, and it is fun, and it can be a bit disconcerting and frightening as well, because there are a lot of animals that, at least for me, that I'm just not familiar with, and hearing things in the middle of the night can be quite scary. But a lot of the kind of the folklore and things which they talk about, it's like you could almost transfer this back a couple of centuries, and we're talking about sort of fairy folklore and things like that. And I always find it fascinating how so many things of which we think of being modern legends owe so much to this kind of much older sort of tradition that we have for storytelling and how we talk about mysticism in the world. And so I don't have a huge amount to say about the content of the article, mostly because I don't want to, it's a really well-written article. I think they probably make too many suppositions in it for my liking. But I actually really don't want to be mean about them, because it sounds like, in a way, they're kind of going about something in the right way, but just might be coming to different conclusions than I would have done. So I actually really recommend having a look at it, and just perhaps thinking about, you know, the possibilities that if we are going to be talking about the possibility of Bigfoot being real and ghost being real, why not have them both together? And Bigfoot hunters or Bigfoot specialists absolutely hate this kind of thinking, because they like to imagine that they are in the realm of science, and that this is an actual ape, this is possibly some sort of primate of an unknown species which is living in the wilds of America and other places in the world. And so they don't like this sort of what they think of the kind of airy fairy kinds of stuff which goes along with it. And, you know, I think that they would much rather that it was just kept as the idea of that this is an animal living in the wild.
So I may have missed it, but what are Bigfoot's ghosts of?
Well, that's what I was thinking, because there doesn't seem to be any Hagrid. clear idea. I mean, I'm assuming that this isn't, you know, just a hairy man who died somewhere in America. Who's a hairy naked man walking around. So, but there is actually, you know, saying, even though the idea of like, is Bigfoot a ghost is quite a good hook for the article title, it actually sort of goes into the idea of it being more of like a trans-dimensional being that's able to pass through dimensions. So it might not necessarily be the sort of ghost we imagine it being, or at least this article is kind of positing it. But
yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't, I mean, some people believe in ghosts and don't think that the spirits are dead people. So, you know, maybe that's, yeah, and I guess that's what angle this story is taking.
Yeah, but it was just, it was a really interesting thing. I mean, I thought that maybe if we're talking ghosts, we're talking about like early man, like kind of cave dwelling man or something like that. In which case, you know, if we were saying it was like a ghost of that, then you would expect to see them everywhere around America. I mean, you would expect to be seeing these ghosts of them in cities and things like that. It wouldn't just be confined to mountain regions and things like that.
Well, maybe at the time, the energy. Sorry.
There's a guy, I can't remember his number right now, but his name is Sarge L18 or Sarge L7, something like that anyway. He believes it's portals. So they wander in a portal from a parallel universe, right. They go, "Ooh, I'm a Bigfoot," and then they walk into the next portal and off.
And that's what this green flash was apparently connected to, or at least a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch psychic who believes that she had been in contact with Bigfoot psychically. This is what she had been told.
Do they psychic in English then?
Well, it's kind of, it's almost a slightly laughable kind of take on what you would almost imagine like a kind of clunky sort of caveman speech, or almost that it's the quote which I have is like, "When our people come to you from other place, green flash happen." That is like that kind of speech.
Ah, so English at least.
Yeah, well, it's in English. Yeah.
Which was very popular 200,000 years ago.
Yes, yes.
Well, we have the scientific explanation from Derek Acora.
Oh, yeah, isn't there kind of like your brain automatically translates? Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
That's Star Trek.
Also Hitchhiker's Guide if you have a babblefish.
And the TARDIS
as well.
And the TARDIS, yes.
It's always very handy in sci-fi to have an automatic translator somewhere.
Yeah. I love the one in
The Simpsons, you know, the aliens in The Simpsons, and to explain how they understand each other, it's like they just say it's a huge coincidence that their languages are just identical.
I like Weak and Weird. I've always liked the site, even when it was back when
it looked like a really fun place to spend
It used to be called Who Forted, and I once interviewed Greg with some of the other members, and they made fun of my English accent, which I still remember to this very day. But you know, I suppose the skeptic in me is, you know, that this is basically arguing and finding the evidence to kind of fill in to the theory. You know, it's a kind of special kind of pleading. But, you know, I also think it's really interesting. And I really admire that it was written by Greg, wasn't it? That Greg has the guts to write this, knowing that the Bigfoot community will probably hunt him down and stuff him and put him in a museum somewhere.
That makes the film Harry and the Hendersons the family equivalent of The Sixth Sense then, doesn't it? Because apparently they can all see him, but they have to go back and see the clues if he was ever really alive.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it provides a whole new perspective on a lot of things. Like, for example, if Bigfoot are ghosts, does that mean that very famous, is it Patterson-Gimlin?
Patterson-Gimli, yeah.
Yeah, that means that theirs is possibly the best video evidence of a ghost.
I can't think of anything else which is any other ghost footage which has been quite that convincing.
No, not even the Henry VIII robed thing pushing the doors open is
that's
impressive.
A great one, that one is. I love that one.
You know, I watched that when it happened. I was at school and I was getting ready for school, and that freaked me out.
Was it Hampton Court? Was that?
Yes, yeah, it was Hampton Court. Yeah. Now, it has come that time. For those who are listening or watching, hello, thank you for sticking with us this long. My God.
We're sorry.
Yeah, we are very sorry. Yeah. A few weeks before we decided to do this live show, we decided that we were going to do a Secret Santa between all the hosts. And Kenny Biddle, who has been a guest on the show before, very kindly took our names, drew them at random, and gave us somebody to give a gift to. And so we all have, I hope, we all have our Secret Santa presents. Do you have yours, guys? I've got mine. I haven't unwrapped
it.
I've
got mine.
Oh. If you could, like, maybe just... Yep, they're all the gifts. Yep. Alice is looking very excited. So, it is... Oh, my God, Alice, to stop. It's now time... Do you know, before we unwrap them, I just want to point out to whoever my Secret Santa is, because we generally don't know who got who. Mine actually says, Spooktator Secret Satan. I think it's meant to say handle with care, but it just cut off at handle with. I literally have to every single episode. Right, so let's open our presents.
Are we all doing them together, are we?
Yeah, let's do it. I feel like this should be Christmas music, but there is no Christmas music. Paul's just holding his up to the... What is that?
It's coming out of the screen. I'm pulling it out like test video drone.
Alistair, you've got... What is that?
Finding Jesus.
Oh, my God. You will not believe what I've got.
I remember this as a kid.
What have you got? Let me see. Hold it up to your camera again.
I have got Greatness's Mysteries of the Inner Self. I remember there was like, yeah, there was a series of them, and I had a few of them, including this one when I was a kid.
You had? That's crazy. I've got this, this is crazy.
I recognise all of these pictures are just suddenly bringing back just crazy memories of just like page by page.
I've got a Nessie ladle. That is the best thing in the entire world.
That's pretty cool. I remember...
Oh, what have you got, Paul? Let's see, Paul's.
I have the ghost stories of M.R. James. Oh. For years, I literally thought he was just called Mr. James.
Ash, what do you have?
I remember mentioning, it was in passing, like, a couple of months ago, that when I was a kid, I was a fan of Mighty Max. You know, as little thing, that...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, we will
it
just...
It would open up, yeah.
It's actually a complete one as well.
This is great because I love M.R. James' Christmas ghost stories. That, remember Christopher Lee used to read on Radio 4? Mm-hmm. Now he's dead, I can now take on that mantle.
Those BBC adaptations they did in the 70s.
I've got them on DVD. They are the best thing. They are the best thing.
That whistle and I'll come to you with a bed sheet at the end. It's just terrifying.
Yeah, it is. It's weird, isn't it? Because it's just suggestion. And
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Thank you, Santa.
Yeah, thank you, Santa. That is awesome.
Apparently, as well, M.R. James wrote The Two Doctors, which is one of the least popular Doctor Who crossovers.
I will fight you.
Come on, it's not a great Doctor Who episode, The Two Doctors.
Have you seen series eight?
We're not having an argument about
we're talking about Doctor Patrick Who. Troughton and Colin Baker's Two Doctors, right?
Yeah
No, it's rubbish.
I'm so in love with it's like
taking off my Christmassy stuff now. You've just upset me.
Oh, yes, we are. We are all wearing Christmas stuff as well. So I've got a snowman jumper. That's why Charlie's wearing like a paper
crown.
I've got a cow. Alice has got a cow.
a cow.
That's why Ash is wearing tinsel and everything. Cow. And Paul's got a hat. This has been another episode of the Spooktator podcast. We won't be back now until the end of January because for anyone who's never listened or watched the show before, we do episodes at the end of the month. We look back at the month that has just been and explore new stories that have touched upon the paranormal in one way or another. So we'll be back at the end of January. So until then, we wish you all a wonderful Christmas and an equally glorious new year. And remember, we're not haters.
We're just spooktators. I remembered.
Wow, guys, I told you.